In your Bible, please, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We find ourselves once again at the fourth chapter, and I'm reading from verse 8. Finally, brethren, as for the rest, whatever true, whatever noble, whatever just, whatever pure, whatever lovely, whatever of good report, if any virtue, any praiseworthy, think, lukizomai, give careful, thoughtful consideration of these. And our attention over the last several weeks has been on each one of these, which our mind, our very being, is to be absorbed by. Think. Allow this which I am now sharing with you to sink in. This insight that ought to fill your hearts and minds down to the very depths of your being. Whatever true, aletheia, real, genuine. Just to remind you, go back to 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know. We know that the Son of God has come. That's absolute. We have that absolute knowledge. He has given us an understanding that we may be fully then experiencing that we may know Him who is true. Remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. And we may know experientially Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Allow that to soak in. Think. Think on that which is noble, that which is honorable, to be revered. And we spent some time in the book of Hebrews. Come on back to Hebrews chapter 1. Reading it not as the English has it. At various times, in various ways, in the time past, God spoke. Emphasis on the way, the times in the past that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, by proxy. And that message that they delivered was piecemeal. It was partial. It was progressive. But now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. The message has become very personal. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word has become now full-blown, perfect, no longer a proxy. Personally, God has revealed Himself, declared Himself, spoken to us, personally and perfectly in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Why? Who through him also all things were made, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the inward expression outwardly of the majesty, the magnificence of God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged, cleansed our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Think on that which is noble, simnos, honorable, to be revered. Think on that which is just. Went over to Romans. We spent some time looking at this word, dikaios, revealing to us in Romans the significance of this word, just, straight, right. We have those great truths of the scriptures where this word is the very root of what is being declared. Justified. Righteousness. Dikaios. That which is right. Everything that is right about God. You remember in chapter 3 of Romans, reading from verse 24, being justified, dikaios, freely by his grace, through the redemption, the setting free, the being set free from our sin, its power and its penalty, that is in Christ Jesus, this redemption, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood, a merciful, gracious, satisfying sacrifice, where God now is satisfied in what his Son, through the shedding of his blood, has accomplished. Righteousness, justice, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, dikaios, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his dikaios, his righteousness, that he might be dikaios, just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Think on what is true. Think on what is noble. Think on what is just. And this morning, think on what is pure. And that word in the Greek used here is the word agnos. It is that which is undefiled, uncontaminated, pure, chaste, holy. The word for holiness, this Greek word, hagnos, translated hagios for holiness. Come on over to 2 Corinthians this morning. Chapter 6. Whatever is true, noble, just, pure, undefiled, uncontaminated, chaste, holy. Think! Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what partnership, what participation has righteousness, dikaios, with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Pure, undefiled, uncontaminated. What fellowship, communion can that which is defiled have with that which is not? What communion hath light? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No imperfection, no contamination, no defilement. God is light, pure, holy. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises that I will be your father, you will be my sons, you who are not a people are now my very special, unique people. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, the cleansing, the catharizing. Many of us know the experience of what it means to have cleansing in the body through catharization, to be cleansed of the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness. There's our word, hagnos, purity. Perfecting purity in the fear of God. We are a people, uniquely his. A people to be to his eternal praise. And how is that performed? Through purity. Through holiness. No defilement. Nothing that is contaminating. Sin cleansed. Positionally, that's ours. And now the exhortation is, practically, be a people to the praise of God's glory through purity. We're over to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The page away. Chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were pictured in God's revelation to them of his relationship of a husband to a bride. That's a love relationship. But the relationship is enforced by the aspect of the husband and the wife in a pure relationship. I betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste, there's our word, hagnos, pure, virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness, the sincerity and purity that is due Christ, not in him. That is true, but the issue here is that I have, by the grace of God, in a ministry that was pure before you, have allowed you now to come into a relationship with the true and the living God through Christ, being presented to him as a chaste virgin. And that relationship, I'm concerned that you are going to and are in the process many times being dragged away by the things of this world, that which is defiling you, sin that is desiring to overpower you. But I challenge, I'm encouraging you to be a pure, uncontaminated gift to Christ. Going over to Ephesians chapter 1, the very first of Paul's prison epistles. We've been now for over a couple of years looking at the second of his first Roman imprisonment in that hired house, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. God has withheld nothing from us. Everything that he has for us, he has imparted to us in the relationship that we have with his Son. God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. We're already, as far as God is concerned, seated, perfect, pure, chaste, his bride, in the heavenlies, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. The master plan of Messiah, the Christ, the anointed, was formulated in the mind of God. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. And that plan, as he has revealed it to us, was a plan that the Trinity, the triune Godhead, put together to redeem his creation. And in so doing, we were already called unto himself before he made his creation. It's an amazing truth. Before the foundation of the world, God put us in this relationship with him. He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? That we should be holy, pure, chaste, hagios, without blame before him, in love having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Before there was anything other than God himself, he put a plan in place. And that plan was to bring forth a people unto his eternal praise by making, having these people pure, holy, like unto himself. Colossians chapter 3. Third chapter of Colossians. This is where the rubber hits the road. If then you were raised with Christ, and remember, this is, as I've shared with you before, what in the Greek language is called a first-class condition, which simply means we need to add to what these English words are telling us. It would seem in the English that if this be the case, you know, if then you were risen with Christ, and some of translations have since, and that's good, but it's not good enough. If then you were raised with Christ, and you most certainly have been. This is the reality. You are risen with Christ. Because of that, seek those things which are above. We're here, but our heads and our hearts need to be in heaven. Seek, strive, move, be motivated. One of the few things I remember, and it had no spiritual significance, but every time I remind myself that the scriptures exhort us, sateo, to strive, to give it all, a little notation in my high school yearbook by my football coach. He simply put, keep digging. Keep going. I have a wife who thinks that she is the motivating force to allow me to always keep going. The only problem with that is she's the energizing bunny. She is always going. I don't have quite. Keep going. Keep digging. Spiritually. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. In Hebrews, remember? In times past, various ways, partially, piecemeal, by proxy, God spoke, but now, in his son who was what? Seated! What he came to accomplish, he finished. That's what he cried out. It's finished! Not me, the work that I've come to do. And he is now seated. He has cleansed us, purified us unto himself, taking sin. Hebrews, whole book, remember, sovereign son, sent, sin bearer, seated, superior to everything and everyone. Keep digging. Set your mind on things above. I have to say it every time I read it. My office across the lower auditorium at Grace Chapel in Havertown, being the youth pastor in my years at Philadelphia College of Bible, Pastor Ferris's office, and there that little plaque on his desk. Keep looking up. Set your mind. Set it firmly on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the rapture. Therefore, since this is true, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2. Dead in our trespasses and sins. But all of that's been changed. For by grace have we been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Set your mind, think on that which is pure, holy. Get your mind out of the gutter where you lived before you came to saving faith. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. Practically, one of the things the scripture reveals as far as our knowing that we are his is that the Spirit of God witnesses to our spirit that we belong to him. He does that in many ways. The primary way he does that is our love and appreciation of the scriptures that we find in there, the fellowshipping with him that allows us to walk in light, not in darkness. But one of the very practical ways, and it always gives me a little knee-jerk reaction when I hear a child of God use the language of this world. And this world's language, especially in our world, is filthy. It's blasphemy. It's grotesque. There's seemingly in our language nothing sacred. This was one foul-mouthed person who never expressed himself without profanity. It's a way of life. But by the grace of God, took that. Took it. And here we're exhorted, acknowledged, encouraged, so since he took that away, put it away. People judge. Your character by what comes out of your mouth, as well as what they see you do. But more by what comes out of your mouth. We're to be a pure people. Put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. Yeah, it's sort of interesting. These contrasts that are being made here are pretty obvious. We know that the Gentile is different than the Jew. We know that the outward sign of circumcision, which was given to the Jew, is that which the Gentile nations didn't use. But barbarian and Scythian is not really a contrast. It's a reinforcement. Barbarian and the baddest of the bad, the real barbarians. See, that's what the Scythians were. They were badder than bad. Slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect, chosen, select, before the foundation of the world, elect of God, what? Holy, pure, hagios, and beloved. You see, the beloved ought to behave as the beloved. Those who have been selected, called, are to have a conduct in keeping with that calling. Put on, put off, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love, agape, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Put on love. And then allow, permit the peace of God to rule. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Yes, this world seems to be going to hell quicker than we ever could imagine. But the child of God has peace in the chaos. Let the peace of God control, rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The walk of a believer, a conduct in keeping with our calling, and the worship of a believer. Psalms, they read the psalms, they sang the psalms. Hymns. We started even with what voices and mine is gone. We together sang praise to the Lord. That's what a hymn is all about. And spiritual songs. Cleanse me, O God, We sang that this morning. In our worship, we're to be pure, holy, by His grace. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Finally, brother, as for the rest, think carefully, contemplate, deliberate, allow purity, holiness, sink in. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.